So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 14 again. The book of Joshua, chapter 14. We've been thinking over recent days about God's servant Caleb, a man with a different spirit. And it was my intention just to spend 2 weeks on this subject, a week at Kadesh Barnea, and then a week at this mountain, the Mount Hebron. But we've got a bit waylaid, and this is our 6th week looking at Caleb, I think. Lost count. But we're going to read from Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. So if you've got a copy of God's Word, we would encourage you to keep it open before you and follow along with us, not just now, but throughout the rest of the meeting, as we read from Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware in that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. We'll end the reading at verse 12, and we know that God will bless, as he always does, the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Now we'll just have a very brief moment of prayer, waiting upon the Lord for his help and his grace and his speaking voice. Let's just seek the Lord together. Father in heaven, we thank thee that thou art the God of Caleb, thou art the God of Joshua, thou art a God who never changes, thou art still the God that is able to give victory. God, any rivers you think are uncrossable, God, any mountains you can't tunnel through, God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other could do. And so, our God, we come to thee today and we bless thee that thou hast said in thy word that if ye have faith even as a grain of a mustard seed, thou shalt say to this mountain, Be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And our Father, we come very humbly today and we take thee, O God, at thy word and ask, O God, this morning that thou wilt give to us mountains. We pray, Heavenly Father God, that whatever that mountain would be in the lives of thy people, we ask, Heavenly Father, today that by faith thou wilt give us, O God, these mountains. Help us, Lord, to be like Caleb, to take thee at thy word, and we pray that thou wilt give us the faith that can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. I ask, Lord, now for the anointing of thy Spirit. I pray, O God, that thou wilt anoint thy word, anoint the preacher, and anoint the hearer. And we ask, O God, that thou wilt solemnize the meeting. Fill this sanctuary with thy presence. Hide me behind the cross. Glorify thy Son. And continue with us now, we pray, in the Saviour's name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. God's servant Caleb was a man with a different spirit. 45 years. Caleb has been walking with God in the promised land. For 45 years, Caleb has not got his eyes off the Lord. And after 45 years of spying out the land, Caleb still has his eyes upon the mountains that the Lord has promised in this covenant to give to his people. Caleb was a man with a different spirit. And in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, we see Caleb standing before the Lord and before Joshua, the servant of the Lord, and he's spying out the mountain range. And he's asking in faith that God would give him this mountain that God spoke to him of 45 years ago. Caleb still has got a different spirit. There's still that fire in Caleb's soul. There's still that anointing in Caleb's life. There's still that vision in Caleb's heart of what God in heaven is able to do with a man fully surrendered and sold out to the Lord. Last Lord's Day we thought about this request that Caleb brought before Joshua and ultimately before the Lord in Joshua 14 verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain. And we mentioned the prayer of faith. Give me this mountain. It was a large request. He asked in simplicity and he asked with clarity. And then we considered as well, not only the prayer of faith, but the promise of faith. Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. And whenever we believe the promises of God, so much is possible. There's so much potential. Whenever you get a man or a woman, regardless of their age, regardless of their ability, so long as they believe the promises of God, there's so much potential as to what God is able to do. And then we moved on to think about not only the prayer of faith and the promise of faith, but also the purity of Caleb's faith. It says six times in the Word of God concerning Caleb that he wholly followed the Lord. He wasn't like Peter whenever Peter was backslidden that followed the Lord afar off. There's a lot of Christians like that today. They know that they're saved. They know that Christ has died for them. They know that their sins are forgiven, but they would follow the Lord afar off. Just go so far with the Lord and keep a little bit of distance between them and the Lord, lest they look like a fanatic. But Caleb didn't really care what the world thought. Caleb didn't really care what people said about him or what people thought about him. Caleb realized that there was only one thing that matters. What does God in heaven think of me? What would God say about me if God was to speak audibly to these people? Would he say that I scarcely followed the Lord at all? Or I followed the Lord afar off? Or I wholly followed the Lord? You see, Caleb could pray with confidence, pray with assurance, because he had an unblemished testimony. As Caleb prayed, his conscience did not condemn him, because there was a purity about Caleb's faith. And today I want to draw your attention to verse number 11, and maybe to verse number 10 as the Lord leads. But verse number 11 speaks about the power of faith. The prayer of faith, the promise of faith, the purity of faith, but also in verse 11, the power of Caleb's faith. He says to Joshua, 85 years of age, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Whenever Caleb was 40, he spied out the land. At 40 years of age, humanly speaking, Caleb was at the peak of his physical strength. And he spied out the land. And 85 years of age, 45 years later, Caleb is able to say with certainty and with conviction, you know, I feel just as strong today as I did 45 years ago. Can you imagine an 85-year-old man putting all the younger men to shame and saying that physically, you know, I feel that I could fight the battles that I fought 45 years ago. I'm just as strong today, and if I was to go out to war today, I know that I would be every bit as strong, every bit as zealous, every bit as forthright and claiming ground for God as I was 45 years ago. You know, I do believe that he's speaking about his physical strength, because he speaks about war going out and coming in, and that brings us into the realm of physical ability. And Caleb felt that he was just as strong at 85 as he was at the age of 40. 85-year-old Caleb could still give the young man a run for his money. I can remember living in Port Lincoln. The Reverend Ron Johnson came out to visit. He's our moderator now. And he asked if there's any nice beaches I could take him to. And so we went off to this lovely beach. Beautiful white sand, not a person on it. And he was telling me all about this exercise regime that he's going through. Mr. Johnson's a diabetic and he goes to Fitness First and all these different things. I think it's Fitness First, but he's been telling me how long he can run on the treadmill. And he says, come on and we'll go for a run. Now, I wouldn't guess what age the Reverend Johnson is, because I'm terrible at guessing people's ages. In fact, one of our ministers a few years ago said to me, what age do you think I am? And I was thinking, I don't want to insult this man. And so I gave a conservative estimate. And I says, well, you're probably not far off 65. He says, I'm 50. So don't ever ask me to guess your age, okay? Mr. Johnson, well, he's certainly a little bit older than I was. I was maybe at that time 24, 25. And they were running up the beach. And I'll tell you, he gave me a run for my money. I thought at that time that I wasn't too bad, but I was puffing and blowing like a whale and thinking, I can't let this old fella beat me. And I suppose the only thing that stopped me from quitting was pride. And eventually Mr. Johnson says, well, maybe that'll do us. And he was getting a little bit tired and I was so glad. And in a sense, he was maybe like Caleb, just as strong at that age as he was, maybe 30 or 40 years ago. I'll stop there in case he downloads this sermon and I get hauled up on Friday night in presbytery. But what was the secret of Caleb's strength? He wasn't just a strong man physically, but this strength that he had, this power that he had, speaks about his faith more than any other thing. Caleb was a strong man physically, but he was a stronger man spiritually. And he could say, you know, 40 years ago, I had the vision, I had the faith, I had the capacity to go and spy out the land, and I knew what God could do. And at the end of his life, just as strong. My faith is every bit as strong after 45 years as it was all those years ago. His faith hadn't wavered. His faith hadn't waned. His faith hadn't weakened. And so what was the secret? And what is the secret of living a life of victorious faith like Caleb? Why is it that there are so many backsliders in Ulster today? Why is it that there are so many people that after maybe 2 or 3 years of walking with the Lord seem to grow cold at heart, and yet Caleb walked with God for the greater part of his life, and right at the end of his life, he was still able to say, it's still there. Stronger now than I ever was before. What is the secret of a faith that does not fail? What I would suggest to you that firstly, Caleb walked with God. Word of God tells us that he wholly followed the Lord. Many times, but it tells us that at the end of verse 8, I wholly followed the Lord my God. And dear friends, if we're going to have a faith that is strong, and a faith that does not shrink, and a faith that does not fail, we can have all the intellectual knowledge that we have, and that's important. We can know the Word of God, and that's important. We can come to church, and that's important. We can believe the fundamentals of the faith, and that's important. But the vital thing is that we walk with God. Sometimes it's said, oh, you talk the talk, but do we walk the walk? And Caleb both talked like a man of God and walked like a man of God. Do you remember what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 about a fellow by the name of Enoch? It says that Enoch walked with God. Now the Bible doesn't tell us much about Enoch. It tells us a little bit in Genesis 5. It tells us a little bit more in Hebrews chapter 11. And it tells us a little bit more in the book of Jude. But fundamentally what the Bible teaches about this fellow by the name of Enoch was he walked with God. And there was something simple, and yet there was something powerful about the faith of Enoch. He walked with God. It says that God translated him. that he should not see death. And there was a day that Enoch was walking with God, and God just called him up into heaven, and physically Enoch was caught up into the clouds, and he was taken into heaven itself. He was one of the only men, save Elijah, that did not see death. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that before he was taken, or before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God. You know, I can remember as a teenager growing up in church and coming to meetings and going to different things and listening to these wonderful testimonies. Maybe somebody got saved in prison. That's wonderful. Maybe somebody else was an alcoholic and the Lord saved them and the Lord redeemed them. And I used to think that's a wonderful thing what the Lord's done in that person's life. Or maybe here's a man that lived a life of violence and was in the paramilitaries or something like that. And he got saved and his life was transformed. Nice, that's tremendous. Here's a fellow who's a drug addict. Or here's a woman that's had a very hard life and has lived a life of sin and a life of wretchedness. And you know what I used to think? God's ever going to use me, and if people are ever going to use me, I would need to have a testimony like that. And the tendency and the temptation can be is to think I need to get into the world as much as I can, and then I can get right with God at some other time, and then I'll have one of these wonderful testimonies that people will listen to. Well, those are wonderful testimonies. But you know, to me, what the greatest testimony a person can have is not what they were like before they were saved and what they were saved from, but what they are saved unto. You see, the Bible says Enoch had this testimony. He pleased God. And my testimony isn't what I was as a teenager or a young man in the early 20s. My testimony is what I am before the world on Monday morning. On Tuesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, what I am before my family, what I am before my wife, what I am before my child, what I am in my community, what you are in the workplace, whatever it is, that's your testimony. And anybody, by grace and by faith, can have a testimony like Enoch, or a testimony like Caleb, that they follow the Lord, and they walk with God, and that is the secret of spiritual strength. You become ultimately like the people that you associate with. And if you fellowship with the Lord in the secret place and spend much time in secret with Jesus alone, it's like the hymn writer says, like Jesus thou shalt be. And so one of the secrets of the power of Caleb's faith was that he walked with God. Another secret was this. Not only did he walk with God, but he waited on God. Tells us there that in verse number 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. And then in verse 12, now, therefore, at this moment in time, right now, after 45 years of waiting on the promise of God, now give me this mountain. 45 years of walking with God, 45 years of waiting on God for this mountain. Caleb had spent 45 years waiting in the presence of the Lord. And oftentimes it is the wait that strengthens our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great chapter, Faith's Hall of Fame. And it says concerning the first group of people that are mentioned up until verse 12, it tells us then in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. And like Abraham, who searched for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, he spent a lifetime waiting on the promise of God to be fulfilled. And so it was with Caleb. 45 years he'd received the promise of God. By faith he held on to the promise of God, but it wasn't until he was 85 years old that he saw the promise of God fulfilled. Now I know, and you know, that waiting on God is probably one of the most difficult disciplines in the Christian life. But you know something? If we did not have to wait for God to fulfill his promises, then it wouldn't be by faith. Faith is that which waits. If we could just name it and claim it, it wouldn't really be a life of faith. And if God had given Caleb this mountain the very second that he's seen it, it wouldn't have been a walk of faith. You see, there'll come a day for all of us whenever faith will give way to sight. You know, whenever we're in heaven and we see the Lord face to face, we'll not be living by faith any longer. We'll be living by sight. We'll see all the things that are eternal. But in this world below, we walk by faith. I can't see God, but I believe God exists. I didn't physically see them crucify the Son of God, but I believe by faith that He was crucified and that He was crucified for me. I didn't physically go into an empty tomb and see the grave clothes lying there, but I believe by faith that the Son of God has ascended into heaven. But a day will come whenever faith will give way to sight. And so it was with Caleb. For 45 years he was walking and thinking in the promises of God. And then in Joshua 14 he saw the mountain. And there it is before him. And he turns around to Joshua and says, "Give me this mountain." And sometimes it is the wait. And it's the time spent claiming the promises of God that strengthens our faith. Now maybe you say, "Well, preacher, I've got a family. I've got children and they're not saved. And you know, I've got a father or a mother or a husband or a wife or grandchildren or a brother or a sister or a loved one and they don't know the Lord and I've been praying for them for years and you know something? I don't know whether God's going to answer my prayer or not." Well, the Word of God says, Hebrews chapter 11, that those that come to God must believe that He is, that is, that God exists, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, and it's speaking of faith. And the faith that is called upon to wait is often the faith that is the strongest. What does it tell us over there in the book of Isaiah chapter 40? Do you remember that Caleb says he's as strong this day as he was whenever he first spied out the promised land? And he's just as strong, if not stronger, than the young people are. Well, tells us in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 29. And maybe this is a promise of God for you this morning. Maybe you've come to God's house and your faith is weak. Maybe you've come to God's house and your heart is heavy. Maybe you feel like that bruised reed or that smoking flax and you feel on the brink of breaking point and you just think, "I can't go on any longer." Here's what it says in Isaiah 40, 29 concerning the Jehovah God of heaven. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And for 45 years, for reasons perhaps unknown to Caleb, God has asked him to wait a long period of time, over 40 years, before God would finally fulfill His promise to him. And during that 45-year period, Caleb's faith was strengthened. And it tells us there that the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fail, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I can remember as a young Christian listening to the testimony of a Baptist pastor by the name of Ivan Thompson. Some of you will have heard his testimony. He says, "You know, I got saved, and the church that I began to attend, I think it was a Baptist church," he says, "they were having this half night of prayer, and I was young and I was vigorous, I was just saved, I was full of enthusiasm, and I says to myself, I'm going to go along to this prayer meeting and I'm going to show these old people how to pray." He says, "I went along to this half night of prayer this night and I told the wife that I was going and I wouldn't be home until the small hours of the morning because I was going to pray all night." And he says, "I went in, we sat round in a circle, all these old men and women." He says, "I was the youngest there, just converted and fire for God." And he says, "The prayer meeting started and somebody prayed." And he says, "Right, I'm going to get in." And he says, I prayed my heart out. And he says, after about 2 minutes, he says, "I'd run out of words to say. And I'd burned myself out." And he says, "The next thing I remember in that prayer meeting is the old man sitting beside me, elbowing me in the ribs." And he says, "I opened my eyes and he looked at him and he said, 'Son, You better go home because your snoring's disturbing the prayer meeting. And he was a young man. And yet the old saints put him to shame because they knew what it was to wait upon the Lord. You see, waiting in the secret place is the secret of spiritual power. I maybe shouldn't say this in a church service, but I like a bit of boxing. Not doing it, but watching it on television. And I can remember getting a picture for the study of all places of Muhammad Ali working the big heavy bag. And I got it because there was a quote on it of something that he said on one occasion. He said this concerning the fights that he fought in the ring. He said, "The fight is won or lost away from witnesses. Behind the lines, in the gym, out there in the road, long before I dance under those lights. The fight is won or lost away from witnesses. Behind the lines, in the gym, out there in the roads, long before I dance under those lights." You see, whenever that man, Cassius Clay, went to the ring, psychologically in his mind, he knew whether the fight was won or lost because he knew whether or not he had prepared himself in the secret place. And so it is in the Christian life. Public battles are won or lost, not in the arena before the world, but in the secret place. Out there in the quiet place, in the training ground alone with God, the fight is won or lost far away from witnesses. In the secret place, out there on the road, on that narrow way, walking with the God of heaven. And that's what Caleb knew, and that's what Caleb believed. And God might ask us, and God might call us to wait for many, many years before he fulfills a promise in our lives. Leonard Ravenhill says, "It takes God at least 20 years to make a preacher. At least 20 years to make a preacher." Did you know that it was 7 years hard labor on the mission field in India before William Carey won his first convert to Jesus Christ? 7 years without any outward response to the preaching of God's word. Did you know that it was 7 years before Adoniram Judson baptized his first convert in Burma? And it was 12 years before he got what he prayed for. 7 years, no response to the preaching of God's word. Did you know that it was 7 years before Robert Moffat, one of the first missionaries to Africa, won his first convert to Jesus Christ? 7 years, no response to the preaching of God's word. Did you know that it was 7 years before the great missionary Morrison won his first convert? Or a man by the name of Richards, who went to a place called Banza Manteca, won his first convert to Jesus Christ? And so these men sending home prayer letters for 6 years, 364 days or around about that, sending these prayer letters, some people reading them, this man's wasting his time. He's out there and he's waiting upon the Lord and nothing is happening. But it was waiting upon the Lord that cultivated that spiritual strength to bear the burden whenever revival and blessing came. And so the power of Caleb's faith can be seen in the fact that he walked with God, he waited on God, and lastly, he worked for God. Look at the verse again, verse number 11 of Joshua 14. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in." Caleb was a man that knew, as we've often said before, that this world is not a playground. This world is a battleground. Caleb knew that he was called to be a worker and not a shirker. He wasn't afraid of hard work. At 85 years of age, Caleb stands up and says to Joshua, "I'm still willing to go out and to come in and to do whatever I have to do and to fight whatever battles I have to fight in order to gain this mountain." Wasn't ready to give in his guns just yet. And you know something, I believe implicitly that this man of God believed with all his heart that serving God was not some kind of chore that they had to bend his arm up his back for him to do. Serving God was the highest privilege that heaven affords on this earth. C.H. Spurgeon says, "If God called you to be a worker
or a preacher or whatever it is,
don't stoop to be a king.
Never view God's work as being a chore. Never view God's work as being some kind of legalistic service. If that's how we view God's work, we may give in our guns, because I don't believe God blesses a heart that reluctantly puts the hand to the plough and all the while is looking back thinking, I don't know what I'm doing here. Because if a man puts his hand to a plough and isn't looking forward, he'll not plough a straight furrow for God. And the man that ploughs a straight furrow for God, or the man that leaves a clean, pure-cut testimony for God, is the man that believes that what God has called him to do is a privilege. And there's liberty, and there's freedom, and there's joy, and there's peace, and there's blessing in serving the God of heaven. Now, some of you people here have been teaching Sunday school for years. And you've maybe thought that this labour's in vain. And these little children sit around week after week and I just don't know if the word of God's getting into their hearts or not. We all feel like that, don't we, at times? And the heart can grow heavy and the heart can grow weary. But there are people here this morning whom the Lord has saved. And they first heard the gospel in this church's Sunday school. And so whenever the fire of the Holy Ghost began to work in their hearts, there was fuel for that fire to burn. And today they're saved. And humanly speaking, it's because of your faithfulness. Now, I'm not taking away from the sovereignty of God or the faithfulness of God and salvation. But God uses means. And oftentimes the means that God uses are people who believe that they need to reach others for Jesus Christ. Caleb viewed serving God as a privilege. And sometimes in the work of God, a lot of times in the work of God, your faith will be resisted. But in your faith being resisted, that's the very thing that strengthens your faith. Now, you would know to look at me that I don't spend a lot of time in the gym. Somebody told me once I'm built like a coat hanger, one of those wire ones. And there's maybe not much beef on me. But I do know enough to know that one of the ways that people go to the gym, build muscle, is by what's called resistance training. And by lifting heavy weights, their muscles are resisted. And in being resisted, the muscle is strengthened and it expands and it grows. And it's just like faith. Whenever faith is resisted, and whenever the world, the flesh, the devil, our minds tell us God cannot do this, and faith says God can do it, and we resist everything that the world, the flesh, and the devil throws against us, and every resistance to our faith is resisted, and we struggle on, and we plough through, keeping our eyes on the Lord. That is the very thing that strengthens our faith. And so whenever the devil comes and he tells you, God can't save your family, God can't release your son, your daughter, or your parents for whatever bondage they're in, God can't do it. And you say, well, you know something? God can. That's the thing that will strengthen your faith. And whenever you come before the Lord in prayer with mustard seed faith, you say, Lord, my faith's weak. And Lord, I look at circumstances and everything is dictating that you're not going to work and that you can't work, and circumstances are dictating and even my mind is telling me that you can't do it, but Lord, you can. And Lord, my faith is in you. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Saviour divine. And so all the while in Caleb's life, not just at the time of Kadesh Barnea when he went and despite the land, but every year, every month, every week, every day, for the 45 years since, everything was telling Caleb just to cool it and just to lay off. And Caleb, you've gone far enough. You're in the land. You don't need anything more. But Caleb knew what God had said. And Caleb knew that that mountain rightfully was his. And so while the world would resist his faith, Caleb was going to walk with God. Caleb was going to wait on God. And Caleb was going to work for God. And that was the secret of Caleb's spiritual strength. May God bless you. Thank you for listening this morning. And we'll just have a word of prayer and then maybe sing a final hymn.